Right here. Green is advance, red is the... Okay, so our second presentation this morning is How Big is Too Big by Craig Griffiths. Craig Griffiths, Manager Customer Solutions with Volvo Construction Equipment. He's a mining engineer from Australia. Having relocated to Sweden 18 years ago, Craig has worked at LKAB, Boliden, Normandy Mining Operations, and has commenced employment with Volvo Construction Equipment 3 years ago. Craig's role includes assessing customer sites and offering suggestions for improvements in production, safety, environment, and economics. How about a warm welcome for Craig?
I would say about 100% of the operations I go to don't have the big data at the moment, but it is coming. It's becoming available to everything. So it's fantastic to be here today and listen to the big operations that are actually utilizing the functionality and innovation that's available today. How big is too big? Well, Tim gave you the presentation I was going to do. So it's all finished from yesterday. Nah. But I have been able to adapt a little bit from what Tim had to say yesterday. It was an excellent presentation. All the presentations have a theme going through them, and it's all about saving money and making money. And that's basically what I'm going to be talking about today. I spent 25 years in the mining game, working in small operations, a couple of 100,000 tonnes a year, to 76 million tonnes was the largest. That was Aitik mine up in the far north of Sweden. And we talk about tonnes, but often it's not tonnes that's the issue. It's what we've been talking about, the roadways, the weather conditions. Aitik mine gets down to minus 45 degrees Celsius. Then you're going to have fatigue issues in your steel at 45 degrees minus. It becomes rather brittle. Your diesel starts to drop out particles. So you can't work the way you were working yesterday when it was 30 degrees plus. You have to slow things down or even park up machines. So somehow or another, you've got to look at the entire process, understand what's going on. You have to think about what is affecting your operation and be very careful about the KPIs of another operation. If they're getting 55 tonnes per person in their operation per hour, and you're 35 tonnes per hour, think that there could be differences. It might not be the operator skill that we're talking about. It might be other things that are affecting this. I thought I'd be a bit ingenious and give you the solution, the conclusions, directly, rather than giving the entire presentation. We save time that way. As I was saying, solutions are operation and site dependent. If you're going to buy a fleet, you're not buying a fleet for the road, the operation down the road, you're buying a fleet for your operation. You have to understand your operational needs. And when you're exploring your operation, you need to create the data. And a lot of guesswork does go into it. You're getting densities, in situ densities. But maybe you need to do some manual braking. I keep dropping out. Am I getting too close to something? Yeah. You need to understand the material that you're breaking, understand the abrasivity of the material, the way it's going to break when you drill and blast it. And when you're starting from a greenfield, you don't know the answer to all these things. If you've had an operation going for 50 years, you've got a lot of big data that you can play with. So if you're starting with a new operation, you have to be very considerate to risk management. You have to think about what your cost per tonne is for the operation and the cost per tonne for the capital investment. And usually capital investment is money that you don't have, or you've borrowed, or your share market or share owners have given to you. And that money is not indefinite. You have to give it back somehow. So a lot of the discussion I will go through and come to conclusions is capital risk management. We don't hear too much talk about capital risk management, but behind everything everyone has been presenting the last few days is actually capital risk management. You take your money, put it in the bank. In Sweden, I think you get 0.6% interest. In Australia, I think you get 0.2% without doing very much. Put it on the stock market. Well, you could get 100, you could get minus, but it's all about risk management. You put money into a mining operation, you want to get a return for that money. You want to make sure you don't put too much into it and lose it. It's okay to put more money in if you're making money, but if it starts going downhill, so how much capital you put into your fleet is quite critical, and how much risk you get prepared to take when you buy that fleet. A lot of greenfield operations underestimate their working capital, and that causes issues. There were a few that went bust in 2010 because they hadn't the working capital. And if you say you have an iron ore mine, you take off the top of the waste material, money gone. You start breaking the iron ore, put it through a treatment plant, up on the ships, send it off. 3 months, 4 months later, then you might get some cash back. But under that time, 5 years is probably already gone. And if you don't have working capital left, your customers are not going to be happy. Your employees are not going to be happy. And your share market or your owners are not going to be happy. A lot of work goes into designing the operation. And I think even more can be done. I heard discussions yesterday about a 10% ramp. Why not 20% ramps in some conditions? Why not 30% ramps in some conditions? Yes, you wear the roads out. Yes, you wear the tyres out. Yes, you might have friction aspects. You might be able to cut down on the waste material that you're moving. I work in tonnes per tonne. So my stripping ratios, I say 3-1 or 10-1. And if you put it into volumes, it could be 20-1. But every tonne of waste you move, it's costing money. Put it into the ramp. Change your ramp, make it steeper, make it smaller, get smaller equipment. Have flexibility. I don't want to get into all the details here because we'll be finished with the presentation. And the basics of the fundamentals, I like KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. There's so much data available. We're talking about sensors on everything now. I get scared that Google knows where I am. My wife hasn't got a clue, but Google does. And as I said, roadway design, working hours. Working hours is classical. We all think 24 hours is a day. But if you really get into an operation, especially when you've got drilling and blasting, you're coming down to 20 hours available a day. And then you say, in some areas, you're not allowed to work nighttime when it's dark. So if that was in Sweden, you're not allowed to work November, December, January, February, March. They don't work anyway, it's too cold. And then they got the moose hunting season, you lose productivity then. And then you got the summer when the sun comes out. Well, I tell you, I'm now a Swede, I've been 20 years there. When the sun comes out, I go outside. I want to get some of that vitamin D. But we never should forget the operator. They should be always on the top of every discussion. And I'll come into that a little bit later because, well, I'll come to that later because it's quite amusing. I had a go on the simulator yesterday. Use your capital wisely. So that's the conclusions. So where I was coming in, I sent in my paper, how much is too big, and then Volvo comes out with their presentation, bigger is better. Well, what am I meant to say now? There is reasons for bigger machinery. Now, Volvo do not have excavators in the 300-ton class. This is a 95-ton class. Put three of them together, you've got a 300-ton class, and you've got flexibility. But if you don't have the drilling and blasting for that, you're wasting your money. So we're going to go into a little bit of the details of trying to match your fleets, but it's not a simple solution. Bigger is easier sometimes, but it's not always better. Obviously, every time you go up in size, you start paying more capital money. Now, I've highlighted here the fact that Volvo machines for wheel loaders, they get down to this size here. So around the $1 million mark. These numbers are coming from InfoMine from 2011, so I'm trying to avoid any conflict of information. This is public knowledge, and you're talking in these sort of classes. And every time you go up a class, there's less of them, and it's more expensive. They're more expensive for a multiple of reasons, the technology that goes into it, the metal that goes into it, the functionality. And also, if you wanted to buy a Model Ford T before, you could buy any colour you wanted, as long as it's black. It was standardised, easy. Lots of them. Then you get cheaper. As soon as you become outside of the norm, things become more expensive. And it doesn't matter what you say, it's the customer that's paying. At the end of the day, customer is paying for everything. Everything an OEM does, everything that a consultant does, it's the customer that's paying for it. That's the facts. And anyone says to you that it's for free, ask them who's paying for that for them, because nothing is for free. I've got three daughters. Fortunately, they're no teenagers anymore. And I got out of the six-year-old I-know-everything business. But the biggest issue I had over the last 15 years was this free business. You can have free internet if you pay $300 a month. Free, $300. It doesn't go together. You've paid for it. So spend a bit of time with your families talking about what is free. It doesn't exist. And here I got again for the trucks. And here they're talking about the same sort of thing. You've got different pricing, different sizes. And I don't know if you know that Volvo now have increased their size. We have now a 60-ton articulated truck. Now, articulated trucks are specifically designed for tough environments. They're not something you go and buy for the perfect road. You want tough roads, tough environments, and flexibility for them. That's where their value is. We've got up to the limit, we believe at the moment, 60 tonnes. It took us a long time to get 60 tonnes. We've been doing the articulated truck for 50 years. And to get to the 60 tonne, do you know what the hardest thing was? And this is coming from our technology people. Tyres. Getting tyres to suit the 60 tonne. And that was quite an achievement to get that. But it does cost. We were actually surprised how cheap it was compared to what we were expecting it to be. But rubber prices have come down. And hopefully we won't have those times when you couldn't get tyres again. But anyway, the fact of the matter is every time you get up into a larger size, you're talking a lot more capital money being tied up. And the more you tie up capital, the less working capital or less funds you have available to do other things, like investing in big data. I always go back to the ITEC mine. It started around 2 million tonnes a year. In the time that it started then, that was a very big operation. It is now doing 36 million tonnes of ore a year. Probably a little bit more, because when I left Boliden, we were investigating going up to 45 million tonnes, metric tonnes. And that's another thing that, whilst I think about it, operations always talk about their tonnes of ore. They don't put it all together. I was down at a coal field, and they were doing around about 80 million tonnes a year. And when I was sitting there talking to them, yeah, it's 80 million tonnes of coal a year, but the total movement of material was 300 million tonnes a year. Volvo do not have equipment for their production. So I don't have to go in there and tell them how to do their production. But I can tell you they had 60 articulated trucks on their site for cleanup work, to tidy up things. They didn't have the largest articulated trucks on the site. Do you know why they didn't have the largest? They didn't fit under their conveyor belts. They didn't have that flexibility. They'd forgotten the auxiliary activities that need to be done. So they took a smaller truck. So it wasn't optimized for the process that needed to be done. It was optimized by the fact that they were restricted. So always go back to your design plans. Think again. What are we actually trying to achieve? Not just the tons of ore, the tons of waste. Where are you going to put it? How are you going to manage it? What do you want to do with your roadways? What are your water conditions like, weather conditions? It just continues on. I always go to dollars. I'm not an accountant. I spend a lot of time fighting with accountants. I don't understand a lot of the logic that they try to do. Increasing NPVs, increasing internal rate of returns, sounds good. What happens after the 10th year? Because usually you're not getting much value in those calculations after the 10th year. So a mining operation is often a 20, 30, 40, 100 year operation. The LKAB mine that I came from, which is in the far north of Sweden, they've been going over 100 years now. Started as an open pit. I think they're at 1,300 meters under the surface now, mining iron ore. That's a huge achievement. They had mobile telephone access in the late 90s, 700 meters underground. Everything is digitalized. They have the Wi-Fi system. You can go down and work at the face on a Wi-Fi system. So you don't get away from anybody. The iPhone keeps chasing you everywhere. But if you have a look, there's just so many ways to look at data. I actually did a diagram of very similar engine power. This one is engine power. The other one was tons of metal, the weight of the machine compared to the dollars. Quite an interesting diagram to have a look at yourselves. But as you can see, the bigger you go with the power, if you've got a motorboat, more 8 horsepower in the motorboat, it's the boat's usually not very expensive, it's the engine that gets more expensive. And this is pretty much the same thing here. What I found quite amusing, and remember these are coming from statistics, so I haven't dug into the statistics, but I thought it was quite amusing that we went to 3,500 and paid around 4.5, and then we go to a little under 3,500, I think it was 3,300 and paid 6 million. But that's the horsepower of the engine. I don't know the machine, I didn't investigate it, but the technology advancements that have been done to engines to get the energy from the engine through to the wheels has improved remarkably. So a machine that you bought 20 years ago and compare it to today, I hope you see improvements in the efficiency from the engine down to the wheels. How do I get it to back there? You have to really push it, he told me. So I just thought I'd give you this because we talk a lot about big data. We talk about what's going on. These are the operators. These are the operations. This is done specifically for training program. Very easily you can sit there and start saying, oh yeah, but truck one, he's parked in a little bit further in, so you know, obviously it's going to be better. Yeah, we know that. You can also see the material is pretty much the same. The intention was the material is the same, so the wheel loader is actually doing the same work. But by putting the truck a little bit further away, not quite optimized for the wheel loader, these are the realities that are going on out in societies. Be lovely to have these feeder apron systems that are perfectly aligned all the time. Remember, they've both got to move at the same rate in the horizontal direction that you're moving. Somehow, it's got to be synchronized. When you've got the flexibility of mobile equipment, you've got the potential for change. Could well be that there's stones in the way and the wheel loader hasn't had time to clean it up or couldn't clean it up at that particular time. There can be so many operational activities that are not collected in these big data. And somehow or another, the supervisors, the operators of both the wheel loader and the excavators and the haulers, they need to be able to understand what's going on. We're talking a couple of seconds here and there, every minute. And as you know, with these big excavators, a couple of seconds here and there, that starts turning up to big bucks. Why is it big bucks? It's big bucks how much they're earning, but also big bucks of what they're costing. In every second, they cost money to the company. Every machine. We at Volvo decided we'd do a test. We spent a little bit of time looking at the operation of external professionals, internal professionals, average operators, and novices. And that's the spread we got. They were getting from 200 tons to 800 tons. Now, I'm not going to tell you where I would be sitting after yesterday. Yeah, maybe around the 300 tons. And I'll get better, but I'll never get up to the top levels. But we use simulators to work out the production rates of what theoretically can be done for a dialogue. We try to analyze it back to what operations are doing today and then manipulate the numbers, changing the densities, changing the swell factors, having a look at the loading capabilities, the bucket selections, and playing around with all these things. And I did a quick theoretical, it's only theoretical, because every operation will be different, but I put in a theoretical road of 700 meters, I used a wheel loader of 250, which is one of our larger ones. I put in a good operator, theoretical, played around, and just looking at that, I can start looking at the tonnages that I'd expect to get from that machine. I was able to get quite comfortably 728 tons with that wheel loader and that type of truck, and I was having a fleet of three. But if I went to four fleet, I could go down in size drastically, which gives huge flexibility. One truck goes out, you've still got three going, you're probably not going to lose many tons, but the tonnage is lower. But maybe it's acceptable. Maybe flexibility is the most important thing. We're not talking the 5,000 ton an hour. I think the 750 excavator that we have with a really good operator, with everything working perfectly, I think you're talking around about 1,200 tons an hour. And that would you'd want to be getting that regularly because it's a lot of money being spent. But the top rate was actually 900 tons, but that's not what we're calculating everything on. If you don't have the tools, the ground engaging tools working correctly, you're not going to get what you're meant to get. I think it was a presentation yesterday that we talked about the teeth missing. One operator, yeah, they can might have the skill set, but not the other operator. So make sure your machinery is optimal. And everything is getting back to operator skill levels and trying to get them all into one area. You don't want to pull operators that are here back there, unless they're working, wearing the machine out prematurely, which is always a case. You can always work too hard. I keep telling my wife that, but she doesn't believe me. But as we've been talking about money, everything we're doing is for money. I love doing my job, but I'm doing it for money, for my home, but also for my company. If you don't put the time into the feasibility studies and the permitting and the infrastructure, the equipment and so on, you have a big bucket load of money, but you won't be able to utilise it. You won't get the permits. So you have to spend the money to get the permits, do the feasibilities, equipment selections and whatnot. And then you get down to, you've spent all the money, now I've got no working capital. I can't pay my employees to get the first dirt out of the ground. So everything is a trade-off. It's all to do with risk management. And accountants, well, they'll love me this time. Deferring costs. It's worthwhile investigating how you can defer your costs. If you can keep the money in your wallet for two more months, it's a lot more functional for you. You can go via the banks and say, I've got money in my back pocket. You've got more power. So to borrow money, you really should. Once you bought your asset, then you're stuck with the depreciation and interest taxes and so on. That's a fixed cost. Once it's out there operating, that's where you start to make your money. And that's where the big data comes in. You can start looking at making value, improving quality, improving your dollars per ton, getting most effective and efficient operations again. But once you've spent that money, it's gone. You might be able to sell the object again, but it won't be as new. And it won't be a vintage either, so you won't be able to make money on it. So spend a bit of time talking with the OEMs. All the OEMs have tools to assist. Instead of asking, I want an equivalent to this machine, give me a price. Tell them what you want to do. You want to move dirt from this point to that point at this rate with these risks and da-da-da. Spend the time with the OEMs. Pressure them. Sometimes they can drop you down one, two sizes. And if you're prepared to take the risk, maybe even three sizes and get more flexibility. Flexibility is quite important. We were talking a little bit yesterday about flexibility. If you're moving ore and waste, you're going to have at least two operations going on. But maybe on those two operations, you have two operations. So that's four machines. And if you tie up, or four loading machines, and if you tie up all your capital on four very big machines, you don't have as much flexibility. Maybe you need six and go down in size. But it all comes back down to dollars and cents, risk management, and take the time. Do it before you spend the money. Because we know from the OEM side, we know once you guys have spent the money, that's it. 5 to 10 years, you're locked in. You can't do too much. And the bigger the machine, you might even want to get 20 years, 30 years out of them with a lot of rebuilds. So we at Volvo, we push for the win-win solutions. So we've already done the final conclusions. Manage your total cost of ownership, and that includes your production costs. Manage and mitigate your risks. Manage so that you've got working capital, because that gives you guys power. Design and redesign and think about what are the options. Go outside of the box, see what's available, and keep it simple, stupid. I'd like to thank you all for your attention. Hope you're all nicely awake still, ready for a cup of coffee. Thank you very much. Any questions? So it was keep it simple, stupid, so you all understood everything. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll take a short break now, 30 minutes. Siemens is buying you a cup of coffee across the hall.